All right, well, good morning, everybody. I think Donnie's yelling at me back there to get started. He said somebody's going to do it. I jokingly said, wait, you're not preaching this morning? And he just scurried on back to the booth back there and hid and said, absolutely not. But this series that we've been in the last couple of weeks has really been a blessing for me, and I hope it has for you. We've been kind of outlining what the church is. And, you know, we talked about the church being the body of Christ and then the bride of Christ. And then we kind of talked about what to do with that message. And this week we're going to kind of dive into this idea that the church is a pillar of truth. But before we get there, I just kind of wanted to make a quick announcement. Next week I'm going to be driving to Colorado, so Brother Rick's going to take the pulpit for me. And so if you come here and you're expecting to hear me next week, it'll be a shock. If you're expecting Rick, you'll be in the right mindset when you get here. And then I'll be back the following week. It's our spring break next week, and I got invited to go out to Colorado and hike some mountains, do some fishing. So I'm really excited for that. So I will be gone next week, and then I'll be back the week after. But as I was kind of thinking about this week, I think this is going to be the last week of our church series. And so I was kind of reflecting on what I wanted to write about, what I wanted to talk about this morning, and I've been working on a big fancy paper for Ozark called an exegetical, and what an exegetical is just doing a bunch of research about a scripture and then trying to figure out what the author is actually trying to say through that scripture. And the exegetical I wrote was in Timothy and Titus, which is for a class that covers both Timothy and Titus. I wrote out of Timothy this week, and man, I just got kind of consumed with this scripture found in 1 Timothy 3:15, 14 and 15. I'm going to focus on these two verses, and Paul's writing to Timothy. So if you don't know the backstory of this text, Paul and Timothy were church planters. They were Paul's like kind of one of the first church planters ever, and so he travels out in Acts. They plant a lot of churches together. That's kind of the second missionary journey is what Dr. Terry Boland calls, a professor at Ozark Christian College. He calls it the second missionary journey that Paul and Timothy go together, and they're traveling through Antioch and all Philippi and all these places. And all of these books, 1 Timothy, all of the, they're called the Pauline epistles, they're letters that Paul has written, and several of them are written directly to a church that Paul would have planted. And this one's no different. Paul and Timothy planted this church, and Paul is writing to Timothy because he's left Timothy there to be the pastor of this church plant. They've kind of gotten off track a little bit. And Paul sends Timothy to go pastor this church, to give this church a direction. And he's writing a letter to his friend Timothy, who's went on all of these trips with him. And we'll pick up here in verse 14. It says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So right off the bat, we get a clear implication of what the church is in the eyes of Paul. It's God's household, the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. John Stott, one of my favorite commentators, had this to say about this passage. He says that it talks about a pillar as something that holds up the foundation, that holds the foundation steady, and as something that holds something out up. I was thinking about how to kind of illustrate this really well, and I came up with a funny story that happened to me this summer. If you don't know, I was in Colorado all summer doing an internship, and one of my friends did something dumb that I would recommend none of you do, but he decided to build a shed. He had just bought a new house and decided he was going to build a shed. And he decided he was going to be cheap, and he didn't want to pay for the people that delivered the shed to actually put the shed together. So if you order a shed, I recommend you have them put it together. But in the meantime, he calls me up. We'd been friends for quite a few number of years, and he says, "Hey, do you want to come over and help me build this shed?" And I like carpentry. I like to try to be useful. So I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm not really good at it, but I'll come and help." And so the first couple of hours went on without a hitch. Everything was going smooth, and then it came time to get on a ladder. And I do not like ladders to begin with, and I hate them even more now. But it was fine. We were building the roof, putting up the sheets of plywood, so then we could begin to put the paper and the shingles on there, as you would if you were trying to build a roof. And we're on these step ladders, and if you've ever been on a step ladder, you know that they can be kind of dangerous. Granted, I was like 6 feet in the air, but his backyard hadn't grown any grass yet. It was a brand new house. It was kind of rocky and awful soil, and as I was placing the step ladder for me to get on it, I guess I didn't check to see if it was a firm ground for me to put it on. And so I put it on there, and I'm climbing up, and let me tell you, I had the fear of God put in me in that moment. I reached over to try to hammer this paper onto the plywood, and the ladder decided to go the other way. And so here I am just falling as the ladder's falling, trying to catch something, and I landed right on my back, and it was not fun. And man, it's a funny story to talk about now, but as I was thinking about that, I was like, man, this is what Paul is trying to tell us. That the church is built on a foundation that is firm. The foundation of the living God. And the ladder that I was standing on wasn't on that firm foundation. So I think that's what Paul is trying to tell us. See, John Stott illustrates it this way. He says, the foundation of the church is the true belief in the gospel message, while the roof of the structure is the full display of that gospel message. Without both, the structure can't sustain itself. Church, if we're going to be the pillars of truth in the world, we must come to a full understanding of the foundation that we stand on. It won't crumble. It won't wash away. When the storms of life come, we have a promise. A promise of a foundation so firm that our God will deliver us no matter how crazy, how difficult, how wild the times in our life get. Our God will never forsake us. The latter pillar in this case that I was on wasn't on firm ground, and thus it was easy to crumble. I was kind of looking at this idea of pillars, and something that I found interesting was there were 7 different types of pillars used in the Roman Greco world. I found a cool picture, but I didn't get it to Donnie in time to get it on the screen this morning, but There were 7 different kinds that they would use in architecture in the Roman Greco world. So when they're building something, they might choose it based on what kind of building it was. There was different ones for the Colosseums as opposed to a government building, as opposed to a bathhouse. So there's all these different types of pillars, each unique in their design. Yet, as they were different, each served the same purpose. Many, actually, that were built are still around today in parts of Europe. You can actually go and see these pillars all over Europe. And I think there's an easy parallel to be made here, that the church today is much like the pillars in the ancient world. Unique, each one of us have our own something different to our offer in design, something different that we believe. You know, the Baptists are a little bit different than us, and we're a little bit different than the Pentecostals. But we all serve the same purpose, to honor and glorify our God. Towner, one of the other guys that I really enjoy, said the believing church is the guardian and the communicator of the gospel to the world. We kind of have twofold as a church, as Mansfield Christian Church, we have twofold purpose here, to be the guardian of the gospel. That means that we need to know the truth and be willing to testify to the truth. And the second part of that is that we're the communicators of the gospel to the world. See, this idea of a pillar that Paul is illustrating here is that the pillar needs two things to be structurally intact. It needs a firm foundation, which is our belief in the gospel, the fact that we know the gospel is true, the fact that we have a relationship with Christ. And in turn, when it has that firm foundation, it can be able to support the truth, be able to hold the truth up, much like a roof. You know, there's a church that I drive by every Sunday on my way here. Every Sunday morning, I look at, they have a sign. Maybe you guys know what church I'm talking about. I don't really want to just blast another church, but they have a sign out front. This is biblical marriage equals one man and one woman. And though, like, I agree with that statement, I think that's a true definition of what biblical marriage is. I think that message is probably not a truth that we should hold up, because it negates the opportunity for us to give grace. Negates the opportunity that a person that may not see the world that way, it stops them from ever coming into that church and hearing the gospel message. I heard a couple of years ago, there was a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a homosexual couple walked into his church, and I don't know how I would handle this. Probably be an uncomfortable moment for me, and maybe it'll be something that I have to navigate down the road. But they came to his church, and they heard the message, and they heard the service. And then at the end of the service, he gathered everyone in the church around these two individuals, and then he began to tell them that he was going to pray the gay away, that they would no longer be gay because he was going to pray it out of them. That's not the foundation you need to be built on. See, the foundation that he was built on was God, but he wasn't displaying God the correct way. The roof wasn't built in the right way. The pillar was holding up the wrong truth. And so my question is, what are you holding up? As the pillar of God, we are the pillar of God, the church. What are we displaying to the world? Mansfield Christian Church, that's my question for you this morning. What are we displaying to the world? See, I think a lot of churches today may have a strong foundation, but their pillars has no structure to it. See, we have faith, but we are lacking the courage to uphold it. And as a result, we are left with this incomplete, broken structure. We're left with a building that when the storm comes, it begins to crumble because there's no structure to actually support what we believe. This happens every time. I've been listening to this really interesting podcast called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, and it's about this church in Seattle. And kind of the whole premise of the podcast is a true story about a guy that pastored a church in Seattle named Jeff Driscoll. And he structured the church to where he was the pillar, and God was kind of the weak foundation, but he was really the pillar of this church. And when a scandal happened and he was no longer a part of the church, the whole church collapsed. The whole foundation fell apart. The physical church was there, but this church that had 20 campuses in the state of Washington, over 3,000 members, doesn't even exist 2 years later. The whole church collapsed because the foundation was holding up the wrong thing. The pillar wasn't the right thing for the foundation to hold up, and the church just really wasn't put together. See, the challenge, I think, for us here is to own our faith and really understand the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. See, I think a lot of times as Christians, I know I'm guilty of this, we get this idea that the gospel is our insurance policy so that we can go to heaven. You know, as long as we know the gospel, that's good enough. We don't need anything else. We know that we have the gospel. We know the truth. But see, I think it's important to understand that the gospel isn't our own personal insurance policy to get to heaven. It's important to know that our call is to share that insurance policy with the world. There's people everywhere that don't even know who Jesus Christ is. And how great is it that God gave us the opportunity to share that message with them? It's also important to note that if we aren't careful, we could be showing the world what a broken structure looks like. This could be like in the case of Jeff Driscoll, or in the case of the church that I drive by on a weekly basis. The truth is, when we let our own thoughts and our own thoughts rule what we see, then we become selfish about the gospel, and we begin to put things that aren't there. Rick's kind of been teaching about this in his Sunday school class, looking at the kind of the book of Revelation and how some scholars argue this and some scholars argue that, and these things become kind of our identity as a church. That's a hard place to be, church, because if there's any crack or any hole, people that don't agree with you are going to begin to take a hammer, stick a crowbar in there, and just begin to hammer away. And eventually that crack's going to grow. It's going to grow some more. And then eventually the whole foundation is going to crumble. And the pillar is no longer going to stand because the foundation was never firm to begin with. If we want to be a church that's a pillar of truth, we need to have a foundation that's strong to support what we believe. I think this is really illustrated well in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Jesus is kind of giving a clear, kind of an illustration of this. And he says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain fell, and then the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." If we're not careful, church, we'll build our church on sand rather than the rock. When the storm comes, when the rain gets heavy and the wind blows, when the trials of life come, our the foundation will wash away, and there's nothing to support the pillar. But remember, if we build a strong foundation, the rest of the structure will remain sturdy. When our foundation is rooted in Christ, the building will never crumble. It's built just like the rock. It's built on a rock. So this is my cry for you, Mansfield Christian Church, and really for the global church. Let's be a church that has a solid foundation. And in turn, because of that solid foundation, we can be a beautiful structure to show the rest of the world about the wonderful God that we serve. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this message this morning that you've given me to share, this opportunity to teach your word, to share what you have for us. Help us to hear these words and take them to our heart, that we can go forth and just be the pillar of truth that you call us to be. We're thankful for your Son and for the sacrifices that he made. It's in your name we pray. Amen.